With smartphones being such an integral part of our daily lives, it is truly an inconvenience when it doesn't work properly. It disrupts the normalcy of our day. When you go into the cell phone store to have it repaired, they just try to upsell you on a new phone. That's why the owner of iDrop, TKL, left those places and opened iDrop. His goal is a happy customer. TKL and the team will listen to what you have going on and work to solve the problem of your broken device in a way that best suits your needs. Instead of trying to upsell you on something that you just don't need. They don't just repair phones. They can service your laptop or PC as well as your Mac. Windows 7 support is over, but iDrop can help you transition to Windows 10. They have a 5-star rating on Google with hundreds of positive reviews. Let me say that again. I don't think y'all understand how big this is. They have a 5-star rating on Google. Their customer service really speaks for itself. So if you ever find yourself with a device that isn't performing as it should, give iDrop a call at 865-888-9740 or check them out on Facebook at iDrop of Knoxville. If man made it, they can fix it.
Deep down the middle's got his man and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Give me two slaps and a red flag.
It's Friday! It's Friday, folks! Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Hope you're having a great morning. Ben McKee, Jason Swain, live from the Low T City Studio. Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. The 9th of April, it is Friday, 5 minutes past top of the hour. It is Friday, Ben! Good morning, sir!
Good Friday morning to you. Most importantly, it's game day for the Diamond Vols. The Gators are in town. The Gators are in town. Big, big weekend for Tennessee. For Tennessee baseball. Big 2-week stretch here. Excited to see what Tennessee can do. Prove themselves just a little bit more.
Do we need to pull the fire alarm at their hotel?
I don't think we have to worry about that because I think a bus ride from Gainesville to Knoxville on 3 separate buses is good enough.
That's what they're doing?
Yeah. COVID stuff. Busing from Gainesville to Knoxville on 3 different buses. I know Tennessee has taken two different buses when it has gone to Athens to play Georgia and gone to Tuscaloosa, third town, I mean, to play Alabama.
That's different, though, man. I mean, we bus from here to Atlanta.
Yes, much different.
Yeah, we've done that before. Tuscaloosa, that's a little bit further, but Gainesville?
It's a long ways.
Man, you ever take a long trip and then your first step outside of your car to walk, it feels like you are walking like George Jefferson or Red Fox, walking like your back then locked up, muscles all tight, legs hurting. Woo! I guess that's why you're taking three different buses if you're Gainesville Gator baseball team.
Well, the three buses is also because of COVID, trying to just space everybody out.
Well, that's why it's going to help, because you're going to have more space. You'll be able to stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they are taking charter buses, but still, it's a long, what's that from Knoxville, like 8, 9, 10 hours, somewhere in that area?
I think it's like, I've never made that drive.
I've made the drive from Huntsville to Orlando, and that was, to be fair, I didn't make it all in one sitting. We drove to Tuscaloosa. Unfortunately, had to stay a night in Tuscaloosa. The wife and I did. At this time, we were boyfriend, girlfriend, fresh out of high school. Picked up two of our friends, went on a little couples vacation, but stayed in Tuscaloosa.
8 hours.
From here? Yep.
Mm-hmm. 8 hours. And then on that bus, well, they may have a police escort, so they can make it on time. So, yeah, right at 8 hours.
Yeah, but 8-hour bus ride, you kind of get off the bus and you got to go to practice on when you get here. I'm sure they went through a practice last night when they did get here. So I imagine that was one of the more difficult practices. I know you're technically staying off your feet, but as anybody knows, after a long, long car ride, it's not the easiest to go out and do something after you've been in the car.
No,
all day.
It is a time for upsets, because Vanderbilt got, and what do you call it when a team gets beat like Vanderbilt got beat by Georgia?
The same thing as any other sport when somebody gets beat down.
What's considered a blowout though in baseball?
13-2.
Football is 21 points or more. Basketball is 20 points or more. What's baseball? How many runs would you consider a blowout?
In my head, I guess this is open for interpretation.
Oh, gosh.
I'd say like 8-ish runs, somewhere in that area.
8 runs is a blowout.
Yeah, I think so.
So we're playing a
8,
baseball
9, 10, somewhere in there.
Game on PlayStation, and I get up by 8 games. It's time for you officially to pass the sticks?
Yeah, I'd say so. Somewhere in that department. Now, we could go by the run rules in high school that I wish college baseball had. But if you get up after, somebody can correct me, but I think it's 10 after 5, something along those lines. If you're up by 10 after 5 innings, and then the game is over. So
goodness gracious, that sounds like Little League rules, man.
They do it in high school.
In Alabama?
Yeah, everywhere.
Really?
I mean, I always, soft. I mean, they just kind of do it in, I mean, it was always a thing when I was growing up playing baseball. Now, the rules were different.
It's actually a good idea. Let me take that back, because ain't nobody got time to be sitting outside.
Exactly.
Knowing what's about to happen. Especially the game is over. Let's go home. Night.
Especially on a school night.
Let's go home. The game is over. They ain't coming back after 10 runs and 5 innings. It ain't happening.
But the rules changed from kind of state to state, because I played in North Carolina, played in Georgia, played in Alabama, and I remember the rules kind of being different, the run rules being different depending on where you are. And then softball has some funky run rules, like 15 after 4, 10 after 5. So I'd say in that 10-run range is probably a blowout. But Vanderbilt got their tails whipped last night. Kumar Rocker did not look like Kumar Rocker. And
He
got rocked, all right. He put a new meaning to Rocker in front of his daddy. But I was joking in our UT baseball group message that I have of people who cover Tennessee baseball and said that, of course, the one bad outing for Kumar Rocker is before he plays Tennessee, the weekend before he comes to Knoxville. He just had to get that out of his system.
That's why when you play in a team as an underdog, you don't want that team to lose before they play you. Like, you want that team to win before they play you. If you're the underdog and you get ready to play a team that is better than you, you don't want that team to lose before you so they can go and fix mistakes and wake up. You want them sleepwalking. You want them to win. So Kumar getting rocked, yeah, he's probably going to be on high alert. He's going to fix some of those errors, and he's probably going to pitch the game of his life.
Correct.
Coming up soon.
next Friday in Lindsey Nelson.
Y'all fire my daddy. This is for my daddy.
Georgia just was unbelievable last night. And that's the beautiful thing of baseball, is that just kind of anything can happen on any given day. It doesn't matter if you're the worst team or the best team. You are capable of losing on any given day. But also, the other beautiful thing about baseball is if you're Vanderbilt, you have another game today. You can kind of forget about last night and go out and win today with the best pitcher in baseball on the mound in Jack Leiter, and you still have a chance to win the series. But they got absolutely rocked. Kumar gave up a 3-run home run in the first inning, gave up 2 other home runs later in his outing. Obviously, that's a total of 3 home runs, and going into the game, he had only given up 2 career home runs to that point, and Georgia hit 3 in like the first 3 or 4 innings.
Did he give up another one later in the game?
He did not. Or actually, he might have. It might have been a 4th. I had turned it off at that point, honestly. But then I saw where Georgia hit back-to-back-to-back home runs in the 9th inning.
Back-to-back.
And I'll be honest, I love Tim Corbin, and I don't care if I don't care if people make fun of me for that, because Tim Corbin is awesome. He had a quote after the game, and he said, "They hit the ball really well. We hit the ball like ish."
Vanderbilt.
It's just straight and to the point.
Oh,
keeping
man.
It real. We hit the ball like ish, except he did not say ish.
Well, ain't no other way to call it. Ain't no other way to describe it, I guess. We'll take our first break of the day. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Ben McKee, Jason Swain.
If you want to get in on the conversation, call the Iris Networks hotline at 865-200-5503. Grow your business with Iris Networks high-speed fiber internet. IrisNetworksUSA.com.
If you're coming to Knoxville and need a place to stay, do yourself a favor and book a room at Hampton Inn Paper Mill, also known as the Hampton on the Hill. This award-winning property is literally in the top 5% of all Hampton Inn properties. The GM, Stephen Lawrence, is a good old local boy who grew up in the business around Knoxville. He and his staff are always available, always willing to help, and will go above and beyond for their guests. The newest Hampton Inn in Knoxville has clean, affordable rooms, flat screens, fridges, and microwaves in every room. Plus, breakfast is included in every rate. Not to mention, there's also a pool and fitness center on site. If it wasn't so close to amazing restaurants, bars, and shopping, you would never want to leave. At only 6 miles from campus, you're still right in where the Big Orange action is. Go to HamptonInn.com, search Knoxville, and book your room at the Hampton Inn Paper Mill, or call 865-693-5400.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue is a no-brainer when you are craving the smoky flavor of quality Q. Dead End makes it easy to enjoy their fantastic menu with online ordering from Chow Now for pickup, Or if you don't feel like leaving the house, then have Dead End Barbecue delivered right to your door by Loco Knoxville or Bite Squad. There is no better restaurant in town to enjoy the madness of March with. Cheer on the Vols and the Lady Vols with the best barbecue around. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, the search is over.
When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFOKnox.com. That's OFOKnox.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Open practice. We're talking about practice. Practice. Not the game.
Practice.
We're talking about practice. I think I know which is a tough position to be in if you're Tennessee. I mean, fan interest is at an all-time low. Because of the product on the football field, NCAA violations looming. It's COVID. If you really, really, really want it, if you really wanted a lot of people there, I think if you would have promoted this thing weeks in advance, or at least 7 days in advance. And so if you're Tennessee, it's like, hey, we open this thing up. We want to give you more access, but there, but but it's kind of like COVID, and I don't know how much we want to, how many people we want to see this product just yet, because we've been through an open practice. Butch Jones had an open practice, and that thing was promoted, and those numbers was huge, and those numbers were used to recruit. So we've been through this before. I guess that's one of the positives of going through six coaches or five coaches in 10 years, I guess. It's supposed to rain a little bit. But I hope there's a good turnout. They had a scrimmage yesterday in Neyland Stadium, and I don't care if it's empty, man. Every time you scrimmage in Neyland Stadium, man, your juices are flowing.
Flowing.
It could be empty, but there's just something different about practicing and scrimmaging inside Neyland Stadium, making that walk over to the stadium and scrimmaging. It's a different vibe. It's a different type of energy, different type of intensity. And Josh Heupel had some pretty honest takes about where Tennessee football is. After their first real scrimmage, had some guys running hard, playing hard. Quarterbacks, he commented on. Ben, looks like the quarterbacks didn't turn the football over, which is honestly the most important thing. Lining people up correctly and taking care of the football.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into kind of what took place in the scrimmage, according to Josh Heupel, since you brought up the open practice, he was asked about the format of open practice, and curious to see how much you believe his quote of it'll be pretty close to what we go through on a typical day. Do you think that it'll be close to what a typical Tennessee practice looks like behind closed doors? Because like when Butch and them had open practices, what we saw I don't think looked like an actual Tennessee practice. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I feel like Butch kind of did other drills on purpose because it was an open practice.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you got company, man, you're going to change it up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna straighten up a little bit around the house. You got company coming. You're going to burn some candles. You're gonna plug in the plug-ins. You're going to spray a little Febreze on the couch.
Vacuum.
You're going to vacuum up a little bit. You're not going to just... He's going to keep it all the way real. I'm keeping it real. I got dirty drawers on the floor. Anyways, I'm going to keep them there when company comes so they can see I keep it real. No, you ain't going to do that. No, that's kind of hard to that's kind of hard to buy. But listen, we're just learning hype. It could be 100% right, man.
Yeah. And he said
it could be.
It'll mostly look like a typical practice. So I took that as there will be maybe a tad adjustment or two to not just completely give away whatever they've been working on. I thought his explanation kind of for an open practice was cool. We know why he is doing an open practice, why Tennessee has decided to open up practice tomorrow morning. But still, I kind of thought his explanation was cool yesterday when he asked about it. Saying that the guys have worked extremely hard. The football field is a big part of kind of how they are improving in all areas. They put in 7 great days of work up until this point. It gives us an opportunity to go showcase in front of our fans, in front of the state, who and what we are at this point, but also forecast a little bit of who we're going to be by the time we get to the fall. Wanted an opportunity for our fans to come in and have an opportunity to see the work that our kids have put in and see who we are. I thought that was pretty cool.
No, for sure, man.
Response to asking why Tennessee decided to open up practice. But he seemed to be pleased with how Tennessee's first scrimmage of spring went. Said that the guys had a ton of energy and made a bunch of plays on both sides of the football. I thought defensively we started extremely fast, played with energy, got off the field, and played assignment sound, in particular early as the scrimmage went on. I thought offensively we did a good job of getting into a rhythm, creating some big plays, and operating really efficiently with our tempo, our ball mechanics. I thought the quarterbacks did a good job of handling all those things really well throughout the day, played error-free for the most part. We'll want to correct some things as far as decision-making inside of the pocket, but took care of the football. Really good day for us as far as our first scrimmage, our first live action. He was asked how Tennessee divvied up the quarterback reps and said, as we've gone from day to day in practice, each quarterback has been designated that they were going to run with the ones, the twos, or the threes. On that day, you get into a scrimmage, and it's been a little bit different. They basically rotated through, got a set with the ones. The next time they were running with the twos and then the threes. As we got late in the scrimmage, we based everything on play count and got those guys close to evening out. I thought all three of them did a really good job of managing the game. Communication was good, not great. We can be better in that area. I thought they pushed the tempo and were pretty sound in their decision-making in the passing game. All three of them took care of the football and allowed us to move the football at times. They're picking it up. Never where you want them to be. You're always pushing them to be further ahead, but they are a competitive group that's approached the practice field the right way. Anything that stands out to you from his talking points on the quarterbacks?
Yeah, the positivity. The whole entire thing, man, stands out to me. You know, and how positive that he's been talking about this practice and the mistakes being decreased. First scrimmage is usually littered full of mistakes, turnovers, bad decisions. We're talking about a brand new system. It's first scrimmage. I wasn't anticipating as much positivity as we've heard so far. Remember the last 3 years? Whenever a play doesn't go right, most of the time, it comes down to like one or two people. How many times Pruitt has got up to the podium and is like, hey, man, we had everything go, everything blocked. It had everything, but this one player, and maybe didn't want to throw the player under the bus. Maybe he's trying to defend, you know, the quarterback, and the guard didn't do one thing right. I got it. How about the first play in German Pruitt's era? The first play. That's a sign right there. That's a good example against West Virginia. The first play in the Jeremy Pruitt era was 10 guys doing the right thing. And one guy messing up, and it started the ball rolling in the wrong direction against West Virginia. It only takes one to mess up the entire play. So, yeah, the positivity, man, and the lack of mistakes stands out to me.
Now, do you think he's being genuine? I'll ask you the same question that I asked you earlier about how practice will be run. Do you think he is being overly positive? I'm sure he is being overly positive, but do you think he's being genuine in his comments so he doesn't really throw anybody under the bus?
I think there's extra effort put into the positivity, which is totally fine because this team needs it. They've been beat down. They're like wounded animals, man.
That is the example that I was going to use. And I can kind of attest to a wounded animal and not bringing this up because of the Aaron Beasley situation, but my little sister, she's fresh out of college, almost a year now, 6 months, graduated in December. She lives in Nashville now, and she adopted a dog from the kennel, and I think the dog's like 5 years old, and it was beaten before my sister got the dog. And now the dog just, I mean, every quick movement, I mean, is skittish, jumps mm-hmm. at everything because it had been beaten for so long. And so just trying to reinforce positive energy to the dog and showing the dog some love to kind of, I don't know that you'll ever make up for what the dog went through prior to, but just after being beaten down for so long, just trying to build it up with positive energy and love is the key.
Yeah. So no, I don't think it's phony. I don't think it's made up because at the end of the day, the proof will be in the pudding, but I think you err on the side of positivity here. You err on the side of lifting up your players as much as possible. A thing that also stands out, Ben, is maybe you're getting less mistakes because there's less things to think about. You can play faster.
That's been the message from offensive players to defensive players. There's less to think about. You just go out there and you play. You get the signal, you get the play call, and you go play.
Yep, a lot of the work is done already for you, and that's coaching. When the coaches are like, here's the book. Teach yourself. What if a teacher comes in and is like, here's the book. Like, do you really even need a teacher if a teacher always goes out of the book? Do you really even need a teacher?
Probably not.
Like, think about middle school, the teachers in high school, the teachers that all they would do is just go by the book. Chapter 1, chapter 2. Read chapter 1, test at the end. Do you really even need a teacher for that? No. Teacher's just there babysitting. But the teachers that don't always have to go from the book and they're actually teaching you the information. It reminds me a little bit of this coaching staff where a lot of the work is done for you already. So now you just react and go. 865-255-03. Be right back.
I'm Vince Moore, wide receiver, VFL 1991, and you're listening to the Swain Event.
Out-of-town law firms have been swarming into East Tennessee lately. Firms from Memphis, Chattanooga, and Birmingham have stormed into the area. Wouldn't you rather do business with a local law firm? You know, a true neighbor. Marcos Garza and the pros at the Garza Law Firm are just that. They are our neighbors and friends that support local causes year-round. The Garza Law Firm works to serve you professionally on criminal matters, injuries and accident matters, and Social Security and disability filings. The Garza Law Firm is here for you at GarzaLaw.com. The Garza Law Firm. Let us help.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue is a no-brainer when you are craving the smoky flavor of quality Q. Dead End makes it easy to enjoy their fantastic menu with online ordering from Chow Now for pickup. Or if you don't feel like leaving the house, then have Dead End Barbecue delivered right to your door by Loco Knoxville or Bite Squad. There is no better restaurant in town to enjoy the madness of March with. Cheer on the Vols and the Lady Vols with the best barbecue around. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, the search is over.
We're here with Dr. Michael Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine to discuss stem cell treatment and PRP. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, Achilles tendonitis, or tennis elbow, you should give them a call.
That's right, Jason. We specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged tendons, ligaments, and joints by using ultrasound-guided injections with stem cells or PRP. And this form of treatment actually stimulates the body's own reparative process and allows for healing of the damaged tissue.
So, Doc, what makes your training different than others?
Well, Jason, I've been practicing in Knoxville for 26 years, and I'm certified in interventional regenerative orthopedic medicine through the American Academy of Orthopedic Medicine. So unlike the big seminars that will advertise stem cells, fly someone in for a couple hours to talk about supposed stem cells that you order off of the shelf, then they'll depart, leaving the patient wondering who will be the person injecting me and what their level of training is. At Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, I'm the one doing the procedure, and we're using your own bone marrow stem cells or PRP. So in other words, it comes from you and it goes back to you. So you know exactly what you're getting and know exactly the level of training involved.
Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, trsportsmedicine.com. East Tennessee's leader in PRP and stem cell therapy.
Guys, your health right now is more important than ever. I recommend Low T Center. That's where I get my levels checked. It all starts with the annual wellness exam where they do a comprehensive health assessment exclusively for men, making it quick and easy to take care of your health. And now they offer monitored self-inject at-home testosterone treatment. Most insurance is accepted. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment and make your health a priority. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Time for Around the SEC. It is Friday. Tennessee baseball this weekend.
Let's go.
Is there anything else going on in this conference that matters, Ben?
Oh, there is. I have great news for Tennessee fans. You ready for some positivity?
The Florida baseball team has a severe case of diarrhea.
Possibly. Hopefully.
And they have to play.
Hopefully. No.
Good thing they're not wearing white uniforms.
That is true.
You know about those Florida athletes.
Yeah, I know. They like to play with a little dookie stain in the pants.
Poop in their pants.
They're going to poop in their pants after they see Chad Dallas on the mound tonight. Go get them, cheese. No. Herb Jones has officially declared for the NBA draft. So Tennessee fans don't have to worry about Herb Jones anymore. Herb Jones, the Alabama star this past season, the reigning SEC player of the year and defensive player of the year. He has gone off to the NBA, so that is great news for Tennessee fans. Now, I will give a tip of the hat to Herb Jones and John Petty. I think if Nate Oates continues to have the success that he is having, and if he's able to kind of even have more success in terms of tournament success, because he's already won an SEC title, obviously, with this bunch, mm-hmm. regular season and tournament title.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's able to get to the Elite Eight, the Final Four, potentially win a national championship, and I'm willing to throw national championship into this conversation of what Nate Oates could potentially do, because A, I think he's a good enough coach to do so. B, he's recruiting at the level to where he is going to have the type of players to go out and win a national championship. Just yesterday, he picked up the Texas Tech transfer that used to be a top 30 player, and he's added a ridiculous amount of talent over the last calendar year.
His style of play is fun to play, man.
Yes.
You can just shoot it. If you're open, it don't matter how much, how far you are. Nate Oates' style is basically like the NBA.
Yep.
And the thing about the NBA is, like, everyone plays the same style. Everyone. Every team plays the same style.
But also, and this is my point of why I am tipping my hat to Herb Jones and John Petty, is if John Petty and Herb Jones don't have as significant of an impact on Alabama this season, a little bit of last season, and do the things that they have done and lead Alabama to the success that they had this season, Nate Oates' style is fun and all and great coach to play for, but he's not recruiting at this level without the contributions of Herb Jones or John Petty. So if Bama does make it to a Final Four, win a national championship in the future, they can look back and Herb Jones and John Petty will have played a big role in them doing so, even if they technically aren't on the team that goes out and makes it to the Final Four, wins a national championship, because they've set the standard for Alabama basketball, and they helped get over the hump. Because you go back to Anthony Grant, you go back to Avery Johnson, there was a lot of hype each and every single season kind of with that Alabama team, because they had talent on the roster, especially under Avery Johnson, but they could never get over the hump. And John Petty, Herb Jones helped them get over the hump. So I think they are two huge pieces to Nate Oates finding success there.
I find it intriguing that you're deferring to Nate Oates as a potential national championship coach. They went 26-7. Of course, they were a number two seed. What is the big difference between Tennessee 2 years ago and this Alabama team previously, other than winning the conference championship in a tournament? Because both teams failed to get to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
A close game that went to overtime in the Sweet 16 against a team that went to the Final Four that happened, or against a team that could have been to the Final Four, Purdue. Purdue was right there. UCLA obviously went to the Final Four and had a chance to play in the national championship game. But I don't remember hearing a lot of talk about Rick Barnes winning a championship after 2 years ago when we lost. What's the difference?
For me, personally, are you asking?
Yeah,
I'm asking, what's
the difference? Because
are you bringing it up because of my personal comments or just kind of the consensus Tennessee lost?
Your comments. You just mentioned national championship possibly for Nate Oates in the future.
For me personally, his style of play is better suited for today's day of basketball. I personally prefer Nate Oates' style of play to Rick Barnes' style of play. Not saying that Rick Barnes' style of play or what Barnes does is bad. He's won over 700 games. Rick Barnes is a great coach, no matter what anybody has to say about his tournament success. He is still a great basketball coach. So when I say that I like Nate Oates' style of play or what he does better, that's not to put down Rick Barnes and what he does. It's just I think Nate Oates' style of play is better suited for today's basketball. So that's one reason I believe that. And the other is, as well as Rick Barnes has recruited because of what they were able to do with Grant, Admiral, and that bunch, Nate Oates is recruiting even better than what Rick Barnes was and how he was recruiting based off of the success that they had with that initial group. Just go through.
He got a five-star on Josiah Jordan James after that year.
He did. I'm not – again, that this isn't to put down Rick Barnes.
No, I'm just asking what's the difference in why you feel like Nate Oates is a coach that can, you know, win a championship based on this previous season, when you can make a case that Tennessee's season in 2018-19 was just as good, if not better, outside of the tournament championship, because Tennessee had a better record. Tennessee was number one in the country for a couple weeks. Alabama was never in that position. Again, I understand the tournament success in the conference. And, you know, Tennessee kind of finished in the same fashion in the tournament. Got some players that went to the NBA. But I just don't remember, oh, man, this championship is in the future. I can feel it.
As well as Rick Barnes was recruiting, he was not recruiting as well as Nate Oates in Alabama is right now, on top of adding the incoming talent to a Javon Quinterly, a Jaden Shackelford, a Josh Primo, and all that
current talent that's on the roster, they're adding just as much talent coming in, and they're going to have the pieces once again to make a run. Tennessee did not have that after Grant and Admiral moved on from that loss to Purdue. They weren't going to make the tournament last year unless they won the SEC tournament before COVID ended Tennessee's season. So, well, to me, it's the style of play, and Alabama is recruiting better than Tennessee is.
I don't think them not making tournaments relevant because that didn't happen yet. But you're right. Like, I understand what you're saying. The talent that Nate Oates is bringing in because of the transfer portal. Rick Barnes did not have the transfer portal at his fingertips like Nate Oates and every other coach in the country. If the transfer portal was where it is right now, right after Grant Williams and those guys decide to leave and Jordan Bone, then maybe you get an announcement just like Alabama got from Texas Tech. I'm asking about the initial reaction right after the season about the future of what Nate Oates, Rick Barnes can do. And I just remember there wasn't a bunch of championship talk after Rick Barnes had lost to Purdue. And it just feels like that Nate Oates is just going to turn around and be here again this year or next year. He's going to be knocking on the door for years to come. And maybe it's because Rick Barnes didn't do it at Texas.
That was going to be my next point.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe because Nate Oates is younger and he's newer.
He doesn't have that history of coming up short. Yeah,
maybe that's it. But, the Alabama team, they started off not really great. More losses than Tennessee you compare it to the 18-19 team. But, man, when they got hot, whoo, they got hot. And they did finish. They did finish the job, which – what I mean by finishing is winning the SEC tournament, something that Tennessee did not do in 18-19. So, I don't disagree with you. I think Nate Oates, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Alabama's going to be good for years to come. I don't know if they're going to be good as this past team, but they're certainly going to be attracting really good players because of their style of play. And I like their style of play. I prefer watching it over others. But don't forget, 2 years ago, there was a team that won a championship that had the worst style of play, Konzo Martin style of play,
in
Virginia that won a championship, literally beating teams by scoring 50 points. The most boring basketball ever offensively. And Bennett and Virginia won a national championship with a boring style of play. So Rick Barnes can win a championship with this style, because this style probably lines up more with Virginia than it does, Nate Oates in Alabama, or Baylor or Auburn, which is what we have seen recently. So, I don't disagree with you. I just found it interesting.
My overall point was that I think Nate Oates will continue to have great success. I would be surprised if he does not, and I think a big reason why he will continue to have a great amount of success is because of the contributions of Herb Jones and John Petty. They played instrumental roles in kind of turning the culture there. That was my overall point. And that was John Petty was, or excuse me, Herb Jones officially declaring for the draft was big news. And then the other big news did pertain to Alabama. In the Texas Tech transfer that I mentioned, Namari Burnett was a top 35 player coming out of high school, signed with Texas Tech and transferred midway through the season and had been in the portal for a while. He's from Chicago, your hometown, Sueno, so you know he's a baller if he's from Chicago.
My hometown's Huntsville, Alabama, Ben.
Your hometown is where you were born.
No, that's not. See, that's why y'all crossed up on your Alabama takes. Mm-mm. That's not true. Your birthplace is your birthplace. Your hometown's where you grew up.
We looked up the definition of hometown, and it said your birthplace was one of the options. So
no, it ain't my hometown.
That was the big news around the SEC was the attrition with Alabama basketball. And then Vanderbilt guard Isaac McBride entered the transfer portal, which was a little bit of a shock. Isaac McBride, he is transferring for the third time. His next school will be his third team. Signed with Kansas out of high school as a big-time prospect. transferred to Vanderbilt, and now he is transferring once again. So Isaac McBride is on the move.
You know where we failed? We did not give Keon Johnson the proper amount of time making his announcement. He's declaring for the NBA draft, and he's going to be, you know, a top 10 pick, definitely. Who knows if he's going to slide in the top five. I saw some rankings that had him at six, but he's definitely going to be a top 10 guy. And with the new WNBA jerseys hitting the streets, not really hitting the streets, not available yet to everybody, but the NBA players getting their new Nike WNBA jerseys, Keon Johnson and Jaden Spring going to the NBA. I don't know, man. Might have to cop me a basketball jersey, man. Give me a Candace Parker jersey. Candace Parker, Chicago Sky.
So
the number three.
You're willing to wear another grown woman's jersey?
Absolutely. Candace Parker. Absolutely. It's medium.
Depending on what team Keon and Jaden get drafted by, I'm going to have to find me some Keon and Jaden gear. I don't know if I'm willing to go full jersey.
Pelicans?
No. And that's honestly, that's more so because the Pelicans unis are trash. Their color scheme and kind of their, quote, swag right now, I think their quote, swag is horrendous right now. Their jerseys are ugly. Their gear is ugly.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it.
The blue jersey is okay.
The ones that say NOLA?
I mean, them ain't bad. Them ain't bad. The Nets jerseys are hot.
Who? I guess the
the NOLA. Yeah. With the green, yellow, and gold. But folks down there love that, though, man. That reminds them of Mardi Gras.
The red ones are hideous.
The red with the red top and the white and the blue at the bottom. Yeah, those are terrible.
Yes. They.
The ones they've been wearing a couple times this year. Yeah, those are trash. NOLA, it's all right. Probably, I wouldn't rock it.
But depending on where the team that drafts Keon, I'm trying to, the teams that are projected in the top 10, the Timberwolves, Pistons.
Of course.
Like Magic, if he got drafted by the Magic, which that's number 4 overall, so I don't know if he'd go that high, but I'd rock some Magic gear. I would not rock any Thunder gear. That's another team who's unis are pretty basic and boring as the Thunder. The Wizards, would you rock some Wizards gear? You did say yesterday you are a Wizards fan because you like MJ.
No.
The Cavs, the Raptors, projected to pick number 8 right now. If he went to the Raptors, I'd definitely get me some Raptors
gear. The old school dinosaur jersey on the first Raptors jersey, man, is a classic.
Funny enough, he's projected number 9 overall to the Magic in this mock draft. The Magic have the Bulls pick, and with the 9th pick in the first round, they've got the Magic taking Keon.
Yeah, the Magic unloaded a lot of talent, man. They're rebuilding, so athletic guard T-Mac. I remember athletic guard T-Mac took over the Magic team, and they built around him after he left Toronto. I can see him going to the Magic, man. I will seriously think about rocking me a Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer jersey, depending on where those guys get drafted.
Jaden Springer is projected to go 12th overall in this mock draft to the Pacers. Pacers got some cool stuff.
I don't know about the Pacers. I don't know if I can rock a Pacers. I take that back. That might be the one jersey. I'm like, I don't like the Pacers.
I kind of like their vintage Pacers, like Reggie Miller.
I'm still mad.
Jerseys.
I'm still mad at the Pacers about how they almost beat the Bulls back in the day.
I know why you don't want to rock Pacers gears.
Why?
It's because you're a hater, you dislike me, and you don't want to rock Buckhorn colors.
That's not 1,000% true.
It's just like 999% true?
No, I'm open to Buckhorn. My best friend is a basketball coach down in Huntsville, and you know, he...
Go Bucks, fear the deer.
You guys, and I don't know the latest, but you guys had an opening. Don't know if you still got an opening. My buddy interviewed for the job, so there's a chance that he could be the head coach at Buckhorn. If he is, then I'll have to be a Buckhorn fan.
Ugh. Lovely.
Ugh.
Go Bucks, feed the deer.
Hopefully he gets a head coaching job somewhere else.
How dare you?
That'd be great.
Ugh.
Can't be rooting for the Buckhorn. Buckhorn Bucks. I know, Ben. Y'all got an NFL player, blah, 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 blah. I get it.
Starting NFL player. The Man. Best at his position NFL player.
Don't go too far. Don't go too far. 865-255-03. Jackson says that Minnesota pick goes to the Warriors if it's outside the top three. Florida Vols fan says Spurs.
Spurs got some cool colors and unis.
Oh yeah, I like the old school Spurs. I think Coach Popovich would be perfect for Keon Johnson. Perfect.
He would be.
Perfect.
But I also wonder how much Pop has in him.
Yeah, he ain't got that much.
And they haven't been bad the last two or three seasons, but it's been a struggle for the Spurs the last couple seasons.
I mean, they had a dynasty run, man. They had a dynasty run. All those guys retired, man. Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan. Those guys are long gone, so.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it came out this summer or this offseason that Coach Popovich was retiring in the next year or so.
Nate the Great says, I was born in Jackson. I assure you, I never once lived there. I lived most of my childhood in Lexington, Tennessee, so Lexington will be my hometown, Benjamin.
Well, here you go.
Laughing emoji.
Here you go. Ask Reddit.
Oh,
what is considered Reddit. Your hometown?
Reddit is your
Sometimes
source.
Sometimes it can mean the place you were born.
Sometimes.
Okay, but
Reddit.
Still.
And it's Reddit.
Mostly, though, it means the town which you consider to be your home, which is what you say and what Nate the Great is saying on the text box. But it also says sometimes it can mean the place you were born.
If you live there.
No.
Reddick is a source, by the way.
That's right. Where's your source, huh? At least I have a source. Where's your source?
Common sense.
No, you have no common sense.
Zach in Hawaii says, did you get to go to the scrimmage yesterday? No, I did not. I did not go to the scrimmage yesterday. My daughter had a track meet. And I was getting killed by pollen for 3 hours sitting outside watching my daughter's track meet. So, no, I didn't get a chance to go to the scrimmage. Not yesterday. There was no possible way I could swing it. No possible way. So, but we will be touching on the scrimmage. We'll be touching on Tennessee football, their first scrimmage in the stadium all throughout the show. We just tipping. Just hitting a little tip of the iceberg so far in hour number one.
Still have to talk about the physicality Tennessee played with in the scrimmage, kind of what Heupel was wanting to accomplish, the main goal. Did somebody win the scrimmage? Did they go full tackle in the scrimmage? Still got a ton to talk about from the scrimmage.
Neil the Mafia, calm down. Calm down, Neil the Mafia. Memphis Pam. Just how many quarterbacks do we have competing for the starting position? Three right now. One suspended in Salter. When he returns, hopefully he'll be trying to compete for the starting job and not just chalk it up to a red shirt, hopefully. If Tennessee goes out and adds another quarterback after the spring, it could be three if you lose one. Or it could be four. So, yeah. Three right now, Pam. Three right now.
Would you consider where you lived your hometown because you lived there the longest?
For me right now, I don't know, man. People ask me, like, where you from? Technically, I've lived in Knoxville longer than Huntsville. But I came from Huntsville, Alabama, where I grew up. So I don't know, man. I don't know which one I would say. I know I ain't saying Illinois is hometown. It's just my birthplace, man. This is where I was born. That's all. Hour two coming up.
Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.